All right, so we are holding on page Nun in Brachos, the first line of the wide lines, so the middle of Ois Ayin. We learned yesterday about Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had said, well, we started talking about the Mesim, but before we were talking about the Mesim and what they know and don't know of what's going on in this world, we had the expression that a person is Mesaper Acham Mitos and Shetamid Chachamim. He says something derogatory about a Tamid Chacham, where after he's buried, no, then what happens to him? We said, on the contrary, if you see a Tamid Chacham that did Aveda Balayla, don't have second thoughts about him, because Vadei also Trupa. So now further on this topic, which is also going to relate back to Hamasapar Achamitos and Shatamar Chachamim, V'omer Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi also says in this connection, B'chof Dalad Mekoymus based in Menadin Al-Kvod Arad. There are 24 cases where based in puts somebody in Nidui, which is one of the forms of Chayram. Generally, you have those Nidui, Chayram, and Shamta. So there are 24 cases based in did that, would do that. V'chol and Shaninu B'mishna Seinu, all of them are mentioned in various places in Mishnayos. You may have, by the way, I don't know, in my copy of it over here, it says based in Hoyu Menad and Akbar Rab. That Hoyu was actually added by the censors because they didn't like the idea that Basin should have the ability to put people in Kherim. But in reality, it's based in Menadin, and Basin has the ability to do it. And they exercised it, as we see in the Mishnah, and they still have that power in later times. Anyway, Omer Rabbi Elazar Hecha, Omer Rabbi Elazar Hecha. So Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, where do you find 24 such examples in Mishnayos? So he tells him, go ahead, go find him. Nafak, so Rabbi Elazar left the Beis Medrash, Doc, and started checking into it. Ba'ashkach tlosa, and he was able to find three of them. So what happened to the other 21? So first, we're going to go through the three. We're not going to actually have, the Gemara is not going to discuss over here in Ein Yaakov what happened to the other 21, but the answer is going to be Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi deduces one thing from another, the same way as we have these three examples where people were actually put in Nidui that are recorded in Mishnayos. You have other examples, Rashi says later on, where you have, for example, people who acted in similar ways where they deserve to be put in Nidui, and even though the Mishnah doesn't record that they did, we assume that they did. Or that Rambam learns differently, that what we do is we take the three examples that we have in these Mishnayos and we deduce from them other similar examples, not even ones that actually happened, but things that could happen. For example, we have all over the place in the Gemara where it says that if somebody does such and such, we put him in Nidui. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is saying that all of them, that even though they're not explicitly in the Mishnayos, most of them are in the Gemara and not in Mishnayos, but still we can deduce them from the three that we have in Mishnayos. So what are the three? Number one, what we said before, when a person speaks in a derogatory way about Tamid Chachamim after they passed away. We said yesterday what Maharsha says, that mitosan means we don't even consider that they've passed away, because tzaddikim afilu b'mitosan kruim chayim, as we said before. So literally mitosan means their bed. So like as if they're just sleeping in bed and somebody is speaking derogatory about them. The second, v'amazalzav b'mitilas yadayim, a person who is careless with nitilas yadayim, he holds it's not so important, which after all, it's a din d'rabbanan. But you might have a person who says, oh, it's not so important or whatever, so he deserves to be put in nidui, as we'll see. And the third one is, v'amnegas hasdaitet klapa shamayim umayla. The third one is a person who acts in a chutzpahdika way towards Hashem. So we have all three examples in Mishnayos. Hamasaparach mitosan shamer chachamim mayhi. What's the first one? Is the Tanan. We have a Mishnah in Adius. So first the Mishnah describes over there that Akavya ben Mahalalel argued with the other Chachamim of his times. He was Akavya ben Mahalalel, most familiarly we know him from Pirkei Avos, that he said he stuck up a Shlosh Advarim. So in particular, the Mishnah in Adius says there were four dinim that he disagreed with the other Chachamim of his generation. The Mishnah says over there, they made him an offer that if he changes his mind on those four things and accepts the view of the other Chachamim, they'll make him av based. There was actually a time, the Mishnayos and Chagiga tell us, where you had the point when Hillel was appointed Nasi, they originally had somebody named Menachem as his av based. Unfortunately, Menachem didn't work out. The Gemara tells us actually that he went off two different opinions, whether he went off the derech or whether he went to work for the king, which may not really be that contradictory anyway, but the bottom line is they needed a new Av Beis Din. In the end, they wound up with Shammai, of course. We know that's Hillel and Shammai. But meanwhile, they offered the position to Akavya. So in the end, and he turned it down because he told them, I'm not going to change my mind in Halacha in order to get such a position. So now the Mishnah continues over there. Hu haya omer, he, Akavya, used to say, one of the dinim that he held was ein mashkin loyasak yodas v'layas mashukhreres. When it comes to giving this asoita, the water to drink, he held you can't give it to a woman if she's a geyoris or a freed slave woman. Because since the pasuk says Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, so he understood that to mean that his rebbeim, actually, it says further on in the Mishnah over there that he had learned this from his rebbeim, so that that therefore that excludes a geyoris or a mishukhreres. Eitz Yosef discusses over here in some detail based on a Yerushalmi what exactly the situation is. Specifically, we're talking about that a gera marries a geyoris or a shifcha mishukhreres, then he holds she's not eligible to drink meisertah. So omru v'cham mashkin, the cham say you could. She's considered like any other bas Yisrael. Omru loy, so they told him, we'll prove to you that you can give mei soita to a giyoris or mshachrenis. Maisa b'karkimis achas, it happened with a certain karkimis. Rashi says either karkimis was her name, or she's named that after the place she came from. She came from a place called Karkim, so they called her karkimis. Anyway, shahoisa shivcha mshachrenis b'yushalayim, she was exactly that. She was a freed slave woman in Yerushalayim, and she was married, and there came a situation when she's a soita. Vishkor Shmaya Avtalion, and Shmaya and Avtalion gave her Mesota to drink. So you see, you can. V'omrulahem, and Akavya ben Mahalal answered the Chachamim, that's no proof. Dugma Hishkor. They gave her to drink a dugma. Now, what does that mean? There's two explanations. Rashi says that it means, now Shmaya and Avtalion themselves, we know, were either Gerim or descendants of Gerim. We know they were descended from Sancheir. The Rambam says that they themselves were Gerim. Rashi over here just says that they were Mibnei Bonav Shal Sancheir, meaning in other words, it could be that an ancestor of theirs became a Ger. Whatever the case, we know that they were descended from Gerim, or they were Gerim themselves. So therefore, so why did they give her to drink? Because they themselves are Gerim, so like they gave a Giyotis like themselves to drink. In other words, like he's saying, almost so it is a bit of a derogatory thing to say that they did against halacha, that he's saying the halacha is that you shouldn't do it, and they did it in order, they did it because she's similar to them, like in order to show that Gerim are full-fledged Jews or something to that effect. But still, that's not a valid reason to do it, and the Chachamim considered that disrespectful to Shmaya and Avtalion, and this is after Shmaya and Avtalion passed away, that's the point. Then there's a second explanation the Aruch says Dugma Hishkua means they didn't actually give her the real Mesoita. They gave her a fake concoction that looked like Mesoita in order to scare her. Still, though, that's a derogatory thing to say that they would do that, to claim that they would do something like that in order to rather than doing the real thing. Either it should be if she's eligible to drink Mesota, they should do the real thing. And if not, then they should tell her flat out, look, you know, you're not eligible to drink the Mesota, therefore you're also to your husband, and that's that. So either way, the point is that, in fact, Eitz Yosef points out there's a very good reason why you shouldn't do that. Because we always have, throughout the first half of Masech Besota, we talk about various things with the water over there. We want to be careful. Shaloi lahotzi laz al mayim amorim. We don't want people to start thinking that the Mea Morim have no effect, because then nobody's going to take it seriously anymore. So therefore, Fakert, if they give her fake Mei Soita and it has no effect, people are apt to say, yeah, but we know that she actually was Mizana, or at least we have a very strong reason to believe. And therefore, that shows that the Mei Soita don't work and nobody's going to be afraid to. So either way, the point is the Chachamim held it against Akavya ben Mahalalel for saying such a thing. And the Mishnah says, Viniduhu, and they put him in Nidui. Umes Viniduye, and Akavya ben Mahalalel passed away still in that state of Nidui. Vishokhu Bastin, Vasaklu Bastin Esaronai. And in fact, the Mishnah continues that Bastin sent a messenger and they stoned his Aron. Not literally stoned it, but as it goes on to say in the Mishnah, that they put a big rock on top of it to demonstrate symbolically that he deserved Skila for not having gone before he passed away to ask for them to be Matur the Nidui. So we see they put him in Nidui for Masapar Achamitos and Shetaman Chacham. But the Mishnah actually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually brings up an interesting point. Forget about putting him in Nidui and putting a stone on his coffin. Why don't they judge him as a Zokin Mamre? And the halacha is, after all, you have a person disobeys the Beis Din HaGadol and then paskins differently than them, then he's chayiv misa, the Torah tells us in Parashas Shoftim. And the answer is, the Gemara says there, because even Akavi Mer Mahalal, he wasn't telling people as a practical matter of halacha, you should follow my opinions. He was holding to his opinions. The Chachamim were holding to theirs, but he never actually paskined to anybody, follow my opinions. Had he done that, yeah, they would have judged him as a Zaken Mamre. Anyway, that's the first one. Then Hamazalzim on the Tilos Yadai Maidi. Where do we see the example of somebody who makes fun of or who is careless with the concept of Natilos Yadayim? The Tanan. That same Mishnah in Adias continues. Omer of Yosi or Yehuda, Chas v'Shalom Sha'akavi ben Mahalal Misnada. He says, you other Chachamim, you don't have the story right. It's impossible to say, Chas v'Shalom, to say that they put Akavi ben Mahalal in Yidui. I want you to understand, he says, Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Yehuda says, I want you to understand how great Akavi ben Mahalal was. She'ein ha'azoran in Elas al kol odem mi'israel v'chochmo v'taro v'yiraschet ka'akavi ben Mahalal. When the Azorah was locked on Erev Pesach, we know, we say the Korban Pesach, on Erev Pesach, we have the part over there where the Azorah would be, the first group would come in, the Azorah would be full up, they'd lock the doors so nobody else comes in, and then they'd start shechting the Korbanos Pesach, and then they'd have the second and the third group the same way. When they locked the doors, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, there was nobody else inside the Azorah who was as great in Chochmah of Torah, and in Tara, and in Yiras Chet, as Akavi ben Mahalal. Now, why such a roundabout way of saying it? Why not just say flat out there was nobody else among the Jewish people of his caliber? Marsha in Pesachim explains, because we say, you can't say that, because after all, in his times, there was the Nasi and the Abbeis Din, you had Hillel and Shammai, after all. What are you going to say? He's greater than them? The fact is, they're the Nasi and Abbeis Din, and he's not. So therefore, what do we say? We know that there were three groups that brought the Korban Pesach. Very well. If we assume that in one group was Hillel, and in another group was Shammai, and in another group was Akavi ben Mahalal, then within his group, he was the greatest in Chochmah and Tara and Yiraschet of everybody. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you Chachamim have the story all wrong. Akavi ben Mahalal was not put in Nidri. Ella as mi Nidu. So who was it that they put in Nidui? Somebody from that generation that you're thinking it was Akavi ben Mahalal? It wasn't. As Rabbi Lazar ben Chanoich. It was rather Rabbi Lazar. Rebbe is in parenthesis because in the Mishnah it just calls him a Lazar ben Chanoich. Shepikbek ben Atilos Yadayim. He was being mezalzel. He was treating casually or contemptuously the concept of Atilos Yadayim. And when you think of it, I mean, the whole concept of Atilos Yadayim for food that we have to wash before we eat bread. You think of it. The Gemara in Cholin discusses in some detail the original thing. There was a takana of Shlomo HaMelech that you have to wash your hands before eating kodshim, but Cholin came only much later. And ultimately, it's really only Mishum Srach Truma. It's really not even a Yisrael should have no reason in principle to have to wash his hands before bread. What's the difference? He's allowed to eat his bread Tomei anyway, only in case we have that because a Yisrael eats without washing, a Koyan might eat without washing, and then that Koyan might eat bread of Truma, and he would make a Tomei with his hands. Because of that, the Chachamim made the rule of an Atilos Yadayim for everybody. So now this Alazar ben Chanoich was saying, come on, is that really a reason to make a Takana like that for the whole Jewish people? But Ochshemes, so when he passed away, Shochu based in Minichu Eben Gerla al Aroni, based in sent a messenger, and they put a big rock on top of his Aron. Lalamdecha, which the Tanner of Yosi of Yehuda continues to teach you, Shekol Mishin is Nader, Hamisnader, or Mes Benidui, if a person is put in Nidui and passed away still in his Nidui and did not go to ask for Mechila for it before he passed away, based in Soklan as Aron, then based in does that. They symbolically stone his Aron by putting a big stone on top of it. So there's our second example of somebody in a Mishnah who was put in Nidui. So we had the example of Mesaper Achamitosim, which is what the Tanakhama said happened with Akavi ben Mahalalo. You have Mezalzel and Tosidayim, which is the Salazar ben Chanoich. And now the third one, Hamegas Daite Klapish Shamayim Maila Maihi. Where's the example of somebody who was Chutzpedik towards Hashem and was put or was about to be put in Nidui? So Kainu Kugun Choni HaMa'agol. So we have the example of the story of Choni HaMa'agol the story of Choni HaMa'agol from the Mishnayos and Tainus. The Tanan, we have the whole story over there where they needed rain, and Choni HaMa'agol first tells them, bring in the Tanurei Psochim so they don't fall apart, because it was a few weeks before Pesach. Megillas Tainus, by the way, tells us the actual date when this story happened. Megillas Tainus tells us the date was Chof Adar. And in fact, they declared it as one of the minor Yom Tovim in the time of the second Beis Mikdash to remember that great nest that happened. Anyway, so you have the whole story over there that he davened, no rain fell. He made a circle around himself. First, tiny little drops of rain are falling, then tremendously destructive rain, etc., etc. And each time Choni is saying to Hashem, Loikach Sha'alti, that's not the kind of rain I'm asking for. Give a different kind of rain. And each time, sure enough, the right kind of rain, so a different kind of rain starts coming. So the story finishes off. Shalach leShimon ben Shotach leChoni HaMa'agol, that Shimon ben Shotach sent a messenger to Choni HaMa'agol to tell him, Sorich atal lehisnadus, really you deserve to be put in Nidui for the way you acted to Hashem. It's not covered to Hashem, to be matriach Hashem like this. V'yomole Choni ata, and in fact, if you weren't Choni, if you weren't the great Sadik Choni, Gozrani alacha Nidui. In fact, I would declare Nidui. But Shimon HaShotach says, what can I do? You're beyond that point. You are mischate in front of Hashem, and he does whatever you want. What is mischate? Rashi says that it means the lashon choite, that like you have a little kid who's spoiled, and he figures he can get away with whatever he wants to his parents, and his parents will do whatever he wants. So you're like that. You're thinking you can talk with such a break tight to Hashem. And so what can I do? The fact is, Hashem does whatever you want. So I see, obviously, you're beloved by Hashem, and therefore I can't do anything to you. The other explanation of Mischate is that Eitz Yosef brings another explanation, that it means Misgageya, like you have a tremendous longing for your father, and therefore, again, like you imagine, like you have a father who hasn't seen his son in many years, and therefore, as soon as he sees his son, he's going to do whatever the son wants. So therefore, he's saying you're in that position relative to Hashem. The Aruch mentions another point as well. The word mischate can mean enjoys himself. So like you're a kid who like plays around and enjoys himself, and whatever enjoyment he wants, his father gives him. So you're kind of the same. Anyway, the point is, kibench mischate lifnei aviv, you're just like a son who's mischate in front of his father, and his father does whatever he wants. So therefore, you being on such a level, I can't put you in need. On you, the pasuk says, "Yismach avicha ve'imecha." Your father and your mother should be happy that they had such a child. V'sogel yoladtecha, and the one who gave birth to you should be joyous. Marsha there in Tainus explains that avicha ve'imecha means avicha means Hashem, imecha means the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, yoladtecha means literally your mother, your biological mother. So all of them can be happy that there exists somebody, that there exists a tzaddik like you, Choni HaMa'agol. So anyway, the point is, we see that he was chutzpahdik towards Hashem, and Shimon ben Shotach told him, normally such a person who acts like the way you did ought to be put in nidui. So there's the three examples, and then the Gemara goes on to talk about what other examples there are. The Gemara finds a few examples in Braises, and then ultimately the Gemara says, like we said before, that Rabbi Shur ben Levi arrives at the number 24 by being medam milsa lemilsa. He compares one thing to another, either like Rashi says, he compares other cases in Mishnayos where people spoke in a way that seems chutzpahdik, and we assume that they were put in nidui, even though it doesn't say so. Or like the Rambam says, that we take various cases that the Gemara itself says all over the place, Giyur and Brachas and other sugyas in Shas, where it says that a person is put in Nidui for certain behaviors, and we deduce them from the ones, from the three that we have in the Mishnah. Okay. Getting back now, again, the first part of the Perek talks about Dinim involving a mess. So the Perek had started out, Misha Mason, Mutal Lefanov, a person whose relative just passed away. What are the Dinim of him as far as Krishma and Tfilah and Tfilin? And then it goes on to talk about the Dinim during the Levaya and after the Levaya and so forth. So therefore, so now getting back to this matter of the Mason, the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Ha'oiskin Behesped, with the people who are involved with the Hesped. So they're sitting over there and crying, and then you have to realize, by the way, Hesped in Gemara terminology doesn't necessarily mean nowadays, I mean, in Lubavitch Klal, we don't have the minig of a spadium by the Levi anyhow, for various reasons, but anyway, in the Velt they do, but a Hesped nowadays means some kind of speech that somebody gives about the greatness and the virtues of the mess. A hesped in Gemara terminology can include that, but it's more that it involved the when people are sitting over there and crying over the mess. So sometimes you would have like a speech or a poem. We find in various Gemaras they had like certain short speeches or poems or things like that that were meant to evoke people's crying. But the main thing of the hesped is they also have that have people playing flutes with sad music, that have women that are professional mourners who lead it. But anyway, the hesped primarily is the crying in honor of the mess. So ha'oskim behesped, so the people who are involved in all of that, v'zman sham mes mutal lefnehem, if the mess is actually lying there in front of them, nishmotin echad echad bekodim, so they're not all needed there the whole time for the hesped. So instead, they slip out one by one individually and say krishma, and then they come back in. They can't say it in front of the mess. We learned before it would be loyeg l'rosh. So therefore, but they can leave one at a time, each say Kurishma and then come back. Ain't a mess mutalifnehem, if the mess is not in front of them, the mess is in a different house or a different room. Or Rashi says a second explanation, it could even be it's in the room, but not right in front of them, but rather on a different part in a different part of the room. Then Kain Yoshvin Bakodin, then they are able to sit there and say Shema, because now it's not Loyg Lorosh anymore, the mess is not within their four amas. He, the Oval, sits there quietly because before the burial, so he's still potter from Kriyishma. Haim Omdim Mespalim, similarly, at some point when it comes time for Shemana Esrei, they get up and say Shemana Esrei. Vuhu Omdim Matzdik Olav HaSadin. At that point, since they're standing, he should stand as well. But instead of davening Shemana Esrei, because again, he's still potter from Shemana Esrei, being an Onan, instead, he stands and says Tziduk HaDin. We're justifying, saying a statement showing that we accept that Hashem's judgment is just, and we're not complaining about we're not complaining that Hashem is unfair or something. Chas v'shalom. Va'omer. So he says the tefillah. He says Ribon Kol Olamim Har Bechatosi Lefanecha. I have done a lot of sins before you. V'lo Nifrata Mimeni Echad Mini Olef. And you haven't even paid me back for my averus as even 1/1000th of what I deserve. So may it be your will, Hashem, our God, that you should fence in our breaches. Like this, there's a breach that was made in the Jewish people by this person passed away, that you should fence in our breaches, or pirtzes, kol amcha beis Yisrael, and the breaches of all the other rest of the Jewish people, bernachmim, with mercy. However, Amar Abaya, loy mi boi le le'inish l'mei mahochi. However, Abaya says a person should not speak like that. A person, it's not appropriate to say the tefillah like that, to say that I deserve more than what you gave. Because, if I care, we find Rish Lakish says, it's also taught in a braisa in the name of Rabbi Yossi. A person should never open up his mouth to the satan. In other words, like this, when the person is saying, I deserve 1,000 times as much Yisurim as I got, then the Satan now has an opening for Kitrug to say, you know what, let's talk, start checking through what the guy is doing and see what he deserves. But Amr of Yosef Maikra, so Rabbi Yosef says, where's a posik that expresses that idea? Shenema, you have a posik in Yeshaya where the Navi is saying on behalf of the Jewish people, it's in the first perek of Yeshaya, we read it as the Haftarah on Shabbos Chazoin. He starts off saying, if Hashem hadn't left us over a remnant, we would have almost been like Sdoim, completely destroyed. Maya hadolahu Navi. And what does the Navi answer them right back? The next pasuk, Shimu Dvan Hashem, Tzinei Sdoim. Listen to the word of Hashem, you noblemen of Sdoim. So in other words, that was the Al-Tiftach Pelos Satan. Once they said on themselves, we would have been like Sdoim and Amora, then that causes the Makatrig to speak up. And eventually a Nevuah to be given to the Navi to tell them, you know what, since you're mentioning Sdoim and Amora, you know what, you guys are far too much like Sdoim and Amora. So you shouldn't do that. And the point is, Eitz Yosef says, now, the context of the pasuk is they're thanking Hashem. They're saying, Lulei Hashem Tzvakas Hoysa Wanu Sored Kimat. If Hashem hadn't left us a remnant, we would have been goners. Nevertheless, they shouldn't have had to mention the comparison to Sodom and Amora. They could have just said, well, Gavanu, Avadnu, whatever. They didn't have to, like this, they use the word Sodom and Amora, and that caused a kitrug on them. So by the same token, Abaya says, go ahead and say this tefillah, but don't say the expression v'lo nifrat mimeni echad mini olaf. Okay. The Gemara goes on further and starts a discussion about the question of whether covered habrius is doicha isurim in the Torah. So the first thing that it mentions in this connection, which connects with this whole thing before about the mesim, is it describes when the oval is leaving the Beis HaKvaris on his way home, everybody follows him, and it says even if the path that he's taking is a path that's tomei, because there are mesim buried in under it or near it or whatever, then everybody follows him. It sounds like it means even the kohen. So the question becomes, the Kohenim are also midaraisa to become Tomei. How does the, fine, they should give kavod to the oval. How does that allow them to override a mitzvah in the Torah? And so the Gemara discusses the pros and cons of that. So that leads the Gemara into a discussion. Oh, actually, it's the other way around. First, we start with the piece that we have over here that we're going to say here in Ein Yaakov, and then the Gemara says how that fit. And then the Gemara discusses how that fits with this matter of the people being able to follow the oval. Anyway, the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, Hamotzi Kilayim Bigdoy, if a person walking in the street finds that there's Kilayim in, that there's Shatnez in what he's wearing, Posh and Afila Bashuk, then he has to take off the clothing even if he's in the middle of the street. My timer. So in other words, the fact that there's Kovod Abrius involved, he's going to be standing there undressed, doesn't matter. Because my timer, Ein Chochma Vein Tvuna Vein Eitzel V'Negen Hashem, there's no chokhma that's important in the against Hashem, and no wisdom, no understanding, no advice against Hashem. When you have a mitzvah of Hashem that's involved, then you can't worry about your chokhma or your kavod or anything like that. You have to if it means that you're going to be standing there in bizoyan, that's what it has to be. So the rule is kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem. Whenever there's chilul Hashem involved, ein chokin kavod l'rab. You don't give kavod even to your rebbe. Which would mean, in other words, that even if your Rebbe is standing over there and you see that what he's wearing is Shatnez, then you would be obligated to whip it off him in the street. And similarly, other examples we find in other places in Shas that you have this expression, Makom Shesh Chil Hashem and Chil Chim Kavod L'Rav, one of them being, for example, normally we know in the Gemara it mentions in a number of places, a Talmud is usually not allowed to pask in halacha in front of his Rebbe. And it's a pretty serious thing. The Gemara talks about it later on in the Masechta, we're going to have that a person can actually be Chayav Nisa for it. But on the other hand, if the Talmud sees a person who is actually being over an Avera, then he has an obligation to speak up, even if his Rebbe is present, for the same reason. And there's a number of other applications about halacha as well. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch it mentions, this would only be if the Shatnez is Daraisa. Now you have, there are certain things, there's Shatnez Daraisa, where it's Shua Tov even knows, it's been felted and spun and woven together. You have different opinions of the Rishonim, exactly how many of those things need to be done for it to be considered Kalayim Daraisa, but whatever. You have cases that are real, honest to goodness Kalayim Daraisa, and then you have other cases where it's also only Dirabon. Cases where where all those processes weren't done, or for example, you have a case, let's say, where you have a beged that has woolen threads at one end and linen threads at the other end. So that kind of thing we don't say. Then we say that we can be over on a mitzvah derabanan because of kavod abrius, and then you can go home and take it off over there rather than having to take it off in the street. I think, by the way, if I haven't looked it up, but I seem to remember there's a similar din as far as tzitzis as well. Given that midaraisa, you're not allowed to wear a four-cornered garment that doesn't have tzitzis on it, then by the same token, if your tzitzis become posel in the street, then you'd have to take them off right there. Mashenkin, if it's only something where it's only posel that abonon, or where it's borderline or whatever, then you would be able to take it off later.
During the day or at night?
During the day, Pashtos. I mean, at night, you're not chai. Well, during night, Lila loves man tzitzis or anyway, yeah. Pashtos, we're talking about during the day. Okay. So then again, the Gemara gets into this whole long discussion about the exact parameters when we say when kavod abrius is more important versus when a mitzvah is more important. One basic rule that the Gemara says is, in fact, this difference between daraisa or derabanan. If we're talking about an isur derabanan, then you can override it for kavod abrius. There are examples of it in dinim of muktzah and then in various other things. So now the Gemara goes on to say, of a story in this connection, which one explanation is that this story is actually going to end up connecting. So on one level, what we're saying is this next story is going to illustrate how the Chachamim were not concerned about their own kavod when there's Chilul Hashem involved, which connects back with what we just said. Another explanation is actually going to be that the story is going to feature somebody wearing shatnez, in which case it connects very directly with what we just said. So the Gemara says, "Omalei Papa La Abaye." Maishno Kamai or Rishonim, why is it different that in the earlier generations, the Misrichish Lahu Nisa, Nisim would happen to them, or Maishno Anan, the Misrichish Lahu Nisa? Why is it in our generation, later on in the time of the Amoraim, that we don't find that Nisim happened for us? And Rapapa continues the question. He says, Imisham Tanuyi, is it because maybe we don't learn Torah on the same level as they do? On the contrary, says Rapapa, the Shnei Rav Yehuda, in the times of Rav Yehuda, who was one of the Rabbeim of Abaya and Rava, so this is two generations before one we're talking about, Kula Tanuya bin Nezik and Hava, all of their learning focused on Seder Nezik. Out of the Shisha Starim, they focused mostly on Seder Nezik. So not even like this in Bavel, for the most part, they didn't focus on all six Sdarim anyway. Rashi uses the expression, they weren't so great in the Gemara of the four Sdarim, only in the three Bavas of primarily Nezikin over here, means Nezikin even in the narrow sense, but Bavakama, Bavmatsiya, Bavasra. That was what they focused on in Rabbi Yehuda's times. But Rapapa says, Va'anan komasnin and Shisha Sidri. Whereas now in our times, the two generations later, we're learning the entire Shisha Sdarim. Which, by the way, I mean, in the end, Gemara Bavli was composed only on four Sdarim, plus Brachas from Zroim and Nida from Taras. But we find all over Shas that they did discuss the Mishnayos of Zroim and Taras, and those discussions are embedded in other sugyas all over Shas. But so they worked on all six Sdarim. And Republic continues. I want to give you an example of how even Rav Yehuda himself, the great Amora, was less familiar with topics in Seder Taras. When Rav Yehuda would reach in Masechta Uktzin, or in connection with Dinim of Uktzin, Masechta Uktzin, and the concept of Uktzin is that you have, we know that food is makabel tuma and can transmit tuma to other things. Then you have, what about, for example, the food has a stem attached, or a leaf, or a peel, or something. So we have dinim about that, when those stems, or things like that, when those can become tume along with the food, and when they can transmit tuma to other food, and when not. It's called the concept of yodas. So Masechta Uktzin talks about that topic. So when Rabbi Yehuda would reach in Uktzin, Ha'isha Shekeveshes Yerek Bekdera, a case that describes over there where a woman is pickling some vegetables in a pot, and the question becomes if the vegetables still have stems or leaves or whatever attached, or the leaves still considered yodos. So that's not actually a Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin. That's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Taras, which is also in Seder Taras, but it's on the topic that it's discussed and that's discussed in Masechta Uktzin. Or Va'amriva, or others say that when Rabbi Yehuda reached the Mishnah, which is in Masechta Uktzin, that says, Zeisim Shekovshan B'tarpeyan Tahorin, if you pickled olives together with their leaves attached, then the leaves are not Makabel Tumah. So Rashi explains like this, up until the point when you pickled them, the leaves are considered a yad because you handle the olives using the leaves. But now that you're pickling them, then now the leaves become so soft from the pickling that now they're not useful as a yad anymore. Therefore the leaf is not makabel tuma and can't transmit tuma to anything else if the olive becomes tuma. Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos explains that rather the vote is, if you pickled the leaves in order to eat them, then they're still makabel tuma. But if you pickled them in order just to make the olives look nice in the jar, then they're not makabel tuma. Anyway, the point is that when Rav Yehuda would reach such dinim, Omar, he would say, Havayas de Rabu Shmuel Kachazina Hocha. I see over here the difficult discussions, the difficult kashas of my Rabbeim Rav and Shmuel. In other words, he's saying that I have as hard a time understanding the reasons behind these Mishnayos as all the questions that my Rebbes would ask throughout Shas. As difficult as all those questions were, I have the same kind of difficulties with understanding these Mishnayos. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda was not really familiar with the ins and outs of certain areas of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. But Rabbi Papa continues, Va'anan komas nisin ba'uktzin tlaisim mesivta. We, meanwhile, in our times, we learn 13 mesivtas in uktzin, which can mean either, so Rashi says that means that we have, Rapapa says, we have Mishnayos and different collections of Brisos of all six Sdorim, including Masechta Uktzin. So we have, besides the Mishnayos that we have from Rebbe, we also have the Braises of Reb Chiya and Bar Kappara and Levi and so on and so forth. So that's one explanation. So we have 13 different ways just of learning those Mishnayos, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who finds the whole topic very unfamiliar. Or then Tosfos gives an explanation that it means that our Papa is saying we have 13 yeshivas in our times who are familiar just with Masechta Uktzin, to say nothing of the rest of Shas. Even though Marsha points out elsewhere that when you think about it, Uktzin is not only a very obscure topic, this whole topic of Yodes of food, it's also the last Masechta of Shas. So it's like you first have to go through everything else before you can reach that point. And still, they focus so much on it in Rav Papa's times. So the question is, so if you're talking about in terms of the caliber of our learning Torah, Rav Papa is saying we're at a much higher level than they were in Rav Yehuda's times. Now, why indeed, Marsha says, why in Rav Yehuda's times, Taka, did they focus exclusively on Nezikin? Because you have a Gemara in Baba Kama that discusses the question, what does a person need to do in order to be a chassid? So the Gemara brings there several opinions. You should be careful with the Dinim of Brachas is one of them. Another one is you should be careful with Pirkei Avos, Milvei Dechassidusa, all over, whenever the Rebbe every year would do Sichas on Pirkei Avos every summer, he would quote that line that's Milvei Dechassidusa, and explain it in that vein. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over there who says, you want to be a chassid, be careful with the dinim of nezikin. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, therefore in his times, they would focus on nezikin for that reason. Anyway, but Rav Papa continues, the ilu Rabbi Yehuda, but now let's consider on the other hand, when it comes to nisim, Rabbi Yehuda, when there was a drought in his time, ki sholif chad masana, he took off just one shoe, awesome mitra, and rain would already fall. You'd take off your shoes, and they would do the fast that they had for rain back then. They would treat them like we do on Tisha B'Av. You don't wear leather shoes. So therefore, he'd take off his shoes in preparation for the Tainus, and already, he takes off one shoe, and already rain would start falling. The Gemara in Tainus actually tells us a story that where that actually happened, where one time in Rabbi Yehuda's times, there was a drought. There were people who were playing around with food, and Rabbi Yehuda was machbid on that, and the upshot is there was a drought, and there was a scarcity, and then Rabbi Yehuda found out about it, and he took off one shoe, and right away, rain started for. But we, says Rav Papa, come mitzarin and nafshin, we're being mitzar ourselves, we're going through many fasts, and we're crying out to Hashem, and nobody's paying attention to us. So what is going on? Why did they deserve open nisim like that? And we don't. Omale, Sir Abaya answers him, Kamai Habukamasri Nafshai Rakdush Hashem, because those earlier generations were moisten nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. Which therefore Ion Yaakov says. So therefore, Midah Keneged Midah. They went L'mayla Mederech HaTeva to be Moshe Nefesh. Therefore, Hashem went L'mayla Mederech HaTeva and showed them Nisim. Anan, Loi Masyun and Nafshin HaKdushas Hashem. We're not Moshe Nefesh on Kdushas Hashem to the same degree. Now, obviously, it's Yosef says, not that we're not Moshe Nefesh at all. Obviously, if a case of Mesiras Nefesh, where it's required, up Yalacha came up, obviously they would. What we mean is, in other words, that they wouldn't do it as a Midas Hasidus, where it's not required, up Yalacha. So where's the example? We have the example of Rav Ada Bar Ava, who was in the times of Rav Yehuda. It seems actually there was more than one Rav Ada Bar Ava in Shas. There was another one who was a Talmud of Rava, who was mentioned here and there in the Gemara, but this one was an earlier one who was in the times of Rav and Shmuel. Anyway, Chazilahi Kusis, one time he sees in the street a goita, and he didn't know that she was a goita. Dahavis Labishas Karbalta Beshukha. She was wearing in the street a karbalta. Rashi says that a karbalta is some kind of very, very fancy kind of clothing. Rashi brings based on a posik in Daniel, where some of the mafoshim on the posik over there translated as some kind of fancy hat. So it could have been that. Marsha brings from the Aruch that it was a red garment, so it's a pritzah sticker thing for a Jewish woman to wear because it calls too much attention to her. And then there's an explanation that the Beis Yosef and the Radvaz say that it was actually a garment that was known to contain shatnez, in which case it connects directly back with what we said before. So anyway, Sabra de Bas Yisrael, so he thought it's a Jewish woman. Kom kare mina. So he went and ripped it off her. Then Iglai Milsa de Kusisi. Then it turned out, after all, that she was a goitin. Shaimua ba'arba me'azuzi. So then she ended up taking him to Beis Din, and Beis Din evaluated that he owes her that he has to pay her for humiliation 400 zuz. Now, just to give you an idea, in those times, the expectation was that a person could live off 200 zuz for a year. That is why, for example, the ksuba of a basula is set at 200 zuz. You have, for example, a din that if a person has 200 zuz, he's not allowed to collect tzedakah. So 400 zuz would be twice that. So you're talking an enormous amount of money. Omer la mashneich. So Rav Ada bar Ava asks this woman, what's your name? Omer le mosun. She said, my name is mosun. Omer la, he says, mosun, Ava mea zuz is shavya. Mosun is worth 400. In other words, it actually says two explanations. One is that the word mosun is similar to the word mosun, which means 200. So he's saying your name is very fitting because of you. It came out that now I'm losing 400 zuz, 200 and another 200. Or the second explanation Rashi says is that mosun means maloshin hamtana, maloshin being patient. If I had been patient, if I had waited a second to find out whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Jewish woman or a goita, I would have saved myself 400 zuz. Marsha says a third explanation that he says that like this. Now there is the fact is this concept that if you go and rip off a married woman's shetel or tichel in the street that you have to pay her for humiliation, that is a din in Bava Kamma, and it does say over there the amount fixed for that is 400 zuz. So now Rav Ada bar Ava is saying, but you know what the difference is when you think about it, you're a goita. You goitas often go around with uncovered heads anyway. So it shouldn't really be that you should feel such humiliation anyway. But nevertheless, I'm being told, Avamea Zuza Shavya, that your humiliation, even though you're a goita, is, I'm being told, is worth the same 400 zuz. But the point is, he did it. The point is, he did have that Mesiris Nefesh, and he did go, even though he knew that there's a chance of it costing him that much, because that's what we mean, that he went on Mesiris Nefesh, he didn't think twice, he thought that she's a Jewish woman, and she's being over on Shatnez or Pritzus or whatever, and he immediately jumped the gun to do it. So that's what Sir Abaya is saying to the Papa, that kind of thing, that a person goes, L'mayla Mederech HaTeva, without any first seichel ba'avona or whatever, he just goes and does because he knows this is what the Eibishter wants. So therefore, such people deserve that the Eibishter did for them open nisim. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Kesvav Cheshvan. The third installment of the question of how is it that our Dor Yosem is going to be Zoicha to the Gola. So first we had from one Sicha where it ever said about the idea that we're midgets on the shoulders of giants, so we're able to accomplish more than they are. Second of all is we have a greater power of Mesiras Nefesh and Kabbalah Soil than they did in earlier times because the world now is so dark. It's so dark, Beruchnius. And now comes the third reason that ever says, because in our generation, we have all of the good that has accumulated from everything that everybody in previous generations accomplished. So therefore, so all that good means that we were now much closer to bringing Mashiach. So you're going to ask, in that case, doesn't all the evil accumulate as well? The answer is no. When a yid is mekayim a mitzvah, then it's something eternal. As the Alter Rebbe phrases it in Tanya, the yichud that's created by a mitzvah is nitzchi, is forever. It exists l'mayla forever, as opposed to ra, is not a mitzvah. It's just a helem behester. So therefore, once a person has received the appropriate punishment to clean it up, or he's done tshuva, then the ra disappears. In fact, not only disappears, it gets transformed into good. Tshuva me'avas, donis nasa le'kazachias, and therefore the result is that the ra doesn't accumulate over time, but the tov does. Halacha, we're in the middle of dealing with the halachas of food that's mezonis or hamotzi. So now you have, if you have a batter that was made with water, but it's a batter rather than a dough, it's a loose batter. So now, if you go and bake it in an oven, or you fry it in a pan, but without liquid, without oil or whatever, or even if you put on just a little oil just so it doesn't burn, still that wouldn't be considered mashke. Such food, such a dough or such a batter would be considered like regular bread. So therefore, even if you only eat a kazayis of it, you would need to wash your hands and say amotzi and say birkas hamazon. The Alter Rebbe actually in the Siddur says differently. He says that only it wouldn't be just if you eat a kazayis, only if you eat a kviya suda of it. But he says still better because of the suffix to only eat such things during a suda. If on the other hand, if you fry it in oil, then it's not considered bread. So then even if you eat kadeh sviya of it, then it's still only mezonis. Similarly, he goes on to say, you have, for example, waffles aren't considered bread. Even if you eat from them kadei svia, you only say mezonis, and afterwards alamichya. Again, the Alter Rebbe says, this is all we're talking about. They were made with water. They're not even getting in if they were made with juice or milk or whatever. Like typical waffles are made with milk. That's a whole different thing. Here, we're talking about this whole sip. We're talking about they're made with just flour and water. So then the Alter Rebbe says, again, that only eat from them kviya suda, only during the suda. Then you have sometimes, he goes on to say, sometimes you make a really loose batter where you stir it with a spoon and then you pour it on some vegetable leaves and it gets baked that way. That kind of thing is considered pasa barbekisni, because that wasn't baked like the way that wasn't mixed as a batter and made as a and then baked in the normal way that bread is baked. Yeah.